From KTOO in Juneau, I'm Jeremy Shea with this news. The U.S. House today adopted rules to open the doors on the impeachment inquiry into President Donald Trump. Alaska Congressman Don Young, like all Republicans, voted no. Afterward, he explained why to Alaska Public Media Washington correspondent Liz Ruskin.
Young raised a few specific objections to the rules the House adopted. For one, he says they don't give the Republican minority enough power in the process.
What's it allow the minority to do? Nothing. Anytime I'd have to clear with the chairman for me to subpoena witnesses before he could okay it, that's wrong.
The rules direct six committees to continue their impeachment inquiry. Young isn't on those committees, but other Republicans are. Young also objects to the list of committees assigned to the job. He says it's missing an important player.
They won't have the Foreign Affairs Committee in it. They should have, because most of the witnesses that have in secret have been from the State Department. And that's wrong. So it's a bad deal. And I voted no, and I think I'm dead right on it.
Actually, Foreign Affairs is one of the committees that has been taking depositions behind closed doors in the basement of the Capitol, jointly with House Intel and Oversight. And it's among the committees assigned to continue the probe. Beyond those specific process complaints, Young says the inquiry is politically driven and he doesn't see any factual basis for it.
This has been a political sham from the very beginning. And it's been, you know, you think about it, 3 years, all they've ever tried to do is get rid of Trump.
At the heart of the inquiry is a July phone conversation between Trump and the president of Ukraine. According to a rough transcript from the White House, Trump asked that Ukraine look into former Vice President Joe Biden. Supporters of impeachment say Trump was asking a foreign government to help him win re-election by digging up dirt on a political opponent. Young says he believes Trump was conducting the nation's business in that call. He says he doesn't know why Trump discussed Biden with the president of Ukraine, or even which Biden he was referring to.
Does it seem appropriate for the president to ask for an investigation into a political rival?
Did he do that? Oh, he's got documents saying he did that. Have you read a document that said he did that?
He does ask for an investigation.
An investigation. He did say that. Into Trump, or I mean to Biden, or into his son?
After an interview that lasted not quite 3 minutes, Young was done.
Corruption is what he said.
No, he talked
That's
about
enough. Get out of here.
For the record, in the rough transcript of the call, Trump did not use first names but referred to Biden's son and Biden. Trump has since made it clear he wants Ukraine to investigate both father and son, China too.
If it were me, I would recommend that they start an investigation into the Bidens.
Critics say Trump, with statements like that, invites foreign powers to interfere in the 2020 election. The House resolution passed easily with only two Democrats voting no. It allows for future House proceedings to be public and for the release of transcripts of what's already taken place. Reporting from Washington, I'm Liz Ruskin.
A lawyer for the legislature says a proposal to allow the Department of Law to represent the governor, lieutenant governor, and attorney general against ethics complaints may violate provisions of the Alaska Constitution and state law. Legislative counsel Daniel Wayne wrote in a memo that the proposal to change state regulations may not serve a public purpose as required by the state constitution. Wayne also notes the Constitution bars the executive branch from adopting regulations unless a state law allows it. And in this case, Wayne says the law doesn't allow it. Wayne says the proposal would unconstitutionally provide protections to some state officers, but not others. Anchorage Democratic Senator Bill Willikowski asked for the memo from the legislature's nonpartisan legal office.
There are enormous concerns with what is being proposed. There's concerns about the constitutionality of it.
Willikowski, Anchorage Republican Representative Gabrielle Ledoux, and Anchorage Democratic Representative Andy Josephson sent a letter to Attorney General Kevin Clarkson expressing their concerns. Willikowski says the state should stop considering the change.
It creates ethics issues for the attorneys in the Department of Law, creates conflict of interest challenges, and there's just a whole host of concerns with this.
A Department of Law spokesperson says the letter will be considered as a public comment on the proposal. The department isn't responding to what's being submitted while the public comment period is open. The deadline for the public to respond to the proposal is November 4th. This fall, the Juneau School District began using a third-party service to monitor emails and messages sent on school accounts, hoping to increase student safety. Students and parents have raised concerns about privacy and data control. The district has made adjustments, but there's still plenty of confusion. KTOO's Zoe Gruskin reports.
The first time Toby Minnick heard about it, he was at school. He's a senior at Juno Douglas High School, Yada'a'kahla.
I think it was probably in calculus class, which is my first class of the day, and a lot of people were kind of like murmuring and talking about it.
Minnick's classmates were talking about BARK for Schools, or just BARK. It's a service the Juno School District started using this fall to monitor what passes through student accounts. It screens for mentions of violence, self-harm, drug use, sexual content, and cyberbullying, flagging messages for school administrators to review. The district's goal in using BARK is student safety, but many were unhappy to learn about the service. A handful of students, parents, and teachers shared their concerns at the October school board meeting. Most pointed to a lack of communication about exactly what BARK is and what it does. Since then, the district has shared more information on its website and directly with families. But weeks later, students like Minnick still have questions.
Until we get answers, I'm super against it. And probably when we get answers, I'll still be super against it. It just seems like an invasion of privacy.
The school district sees things a little differently. BARK for Schools can only access school accounts.
We have no desire to monitor anything private. We are monitoring an academic environment that we are providing.
That's Juno Superintendent Bridget Weiss. Many students and parents still aren't sure about BARK's reach. So here it is from the company and the school district. BARK for Schools only monitors messages sent from or to school-issued email addresses and Gmail chat, as well as anything stored in student Google Drive folders or posted in Google Classroom. BARK does monitor those accounts when a student uses them on a personal phone or computer, but it does not monitor anything else on the device. It doesn't track internet searches, and it has nothing to do with school Wi-Fi. Weiss says if a student talks about an unsafe situation on a school platform, administrators should be able to respond. She says they treat the alerts just as they would if a teacher or parent overheard something concerning and reported it. The district has always had the ability and a legal responsibility to monitor school platforms. But with 2,500 students, Weiss says the district didn't have an effective way to do it.
What this is allowing us to do is to have a shield of protection for students that we didn't have the manpower, would never have. It would be impossible to do a literal monitoring by a human being in the same way.
For some parents and students, that is their biggest concern, that the monitoring is being done by a third-party company. Minnick shares that reservation.
It is weird that our schools are monitoring us, but I feel like that's more acceptable to me than if a company is taking our data or scanning our data and that kind of stuff. I trust my school more than I trust this ethereal other company, BARK, that I don't know anything about.
So what is BARK? The company doesn't make any money off BARK for Schools, at least not directly. It provides the free service to over 1,500 school districts in the country. That way, BARK hopes to build trust and interest in its main product, a service that parents, not schools, can buy to monitor their kids' personal messages and social media accounts. At the October school board meeting, students questioned how BARK might use the data it collects. BARK's chief parent officer, Titania Jordan, says data is never shared with other companies.
We are not looking to monetize or sell your children's personal data. Our goal as a company is to protect your family and empower you with the knowledge to protect your family.
Normally, BARK deletes all data 30 days after it's collected. For Juno, it's 15. Jordan says BARK tries to provide tools to keep kids safe at a time when technology is changing rapidly.
This is a whole new landscape, right? Kids have never had this sort of access before in human history. And schools and parents have never had to school or parent kids in this sort of environment ever.
17-year-old Minnick says growing up in that environment doesn't mean his peers take any of it for granted.
I don't think a lot of people have that opinion that like our privacy in a new digitalized age is something that we should assume is already, you know, forfeit or whatever. We should know something where our information is going, who has it, what they're doing with it.
In response to concerns from students and parents, Superintendent Weiss says the district is providing options. Families have three choices. One is to stick with the status quo and use all school-provided platforms, monitored by BARK. Another is to completely opt out of school platforms. But a lot of classes rely on online tools, and it's not clear how students and teachers will have to adjust. The third option is restricted access. Students will be able to use Google Classroom and Google Docs, but they won't have a school-issued email address or Gmail chat. Families interested in restricted access or opting out should contact their principal. In Juneau, I'm Zoe Gruskin.
BARC won't officially be on the agenda of the next school board meeting, but Superintendent Weiss will give an update. Members of the public can speak about BARC or any other topic during the public comment period. The board meets Tuesday, November 12th at 6 p.m. in the library of Juneau Douglas High School, Yada'at Kachuch. The Defense Department says a soldier based at Fort Wainwright has died as a result of a non-combat-related incident in Iraq. It announced Wednesday that 23-year-old Sergeant Nathaniel G. Irish of Billings, Montana, died at Camp Taji on Sunday. His death is under investigation. Irish was a small arms and artillery repairer assigned to the 25th Brigade Support Battalion, 1st Striker Brigade Combat Team, based at Fort Wainwright. Irish joined the Army in 2015 and previously served in Kuwait. His awards included two Army Commendation Medals and a National Defense Service Medal. A Hawaii landowner has decided not to go forward with a satellite launch facility that would have been built by an Alaska company. Alaska Aerospace Corporation was in talks to potentially build Pacific Spaceport Complex Hawaii on WH Shipman land near Kaiau on the Big Island. The company operates a similar satellite launch facility in Kodiak. The Hawaii Tribune Herald reported Thursday, Shipman President Peggy Farias said the landowner ended discussions with Alaska Aerospace after determining the project would not be a suitable use of its land. Alaska Aerospace CEO Mark Lester told the Associated Press his company is disappointed but understands Shipman's perspective. He says both parties have always said they wouldn't push a project if it didn't make sense for the land and the community. An accidental release of a smelly chemical caused multiple people to report a gas leak in downtown Fairbanks. Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports the chemical released Wednesday was mercaptan, a non-toxic odorant commonly added to propane and natural gas to give them a fragrance that can be detected. There was no natural gas leak. The chemical was traced to a metal cylinder being recycled. And finally, the University of Alaska Fairbanks plans to incorporate competitive video gaming, known as esports, into student activities and curriculum. Fairbanks Daily News Miner reports that this includes offering a new business class next fall related to esports and finding a space on campus where students can gather to compete. The School of Management has been working on ways to incorporate student interest in the field into curriculum. One class, for example, helped organize an esports and gaming summit this year. Mark Herman, dean of the School of Management, says the school is looking at sources of funding outside the university for the gaming space. And here's tonight's Halloween forecast for the Juneau Borough and Northern Admiralty Island. Rain. Lows around 41. That's it for the KTO News Update for Thursday, October 31st, 2019. I'm Jeremy Shea. Happy Halloween.